Welcome to Amici, news and insights from the New York Judiciary and Unified Court System. Today we are chatting with the Honorable Barry A. Kozier, a former Appellate Division, Second Department Justice, and current Vice Chair of Chief Judge Lippman's Commission on Statewide Attorney Discipline. Judge Kozier is Senior Counsel to the law firm of LeClaire Ryan. Chief Judge Lippman announced the commission during his State of the Judiciary address in February. Chief Administrative Judge A. Gail Prudente chairs the committee, and Judge Kozier serves as vice chair. There are 29 members tasked with conducting a comprehensive review of the state's attorney discipline system. Okay, Judge, thank you for chatting with us today. First of all, can you give us the bird's eye view of what this commission is doing?
Thank you for the invitation, and I will do my best to give you the bird's eye view. The charge of the commission is to conduct, I think, a fairly comprehensive review of New York State's attorney disciplinary system, and to identify both the procedural and substantive aspects that work well now and those that may be in need of improvement, as well as, I think, to offer recommendations to Chief Judge Jonathan Lippman to enhance efficiency, fairness, and uniformity in the system.
It sounds like the commission has a very broad mandate. I understand three different subgroups have been established, one on uniformity and fairness, another on enhancing efficiency, and a third on transparency and access. Let's address them sequentially if we could. First, the Subcommittee on Uniformity and Fairness, what is that looking into?
Okay. Now, before actually describing that, I just wanted to point out that New York State is unique in that it is one of only a few states in the nation that does not have a centralized attorney disciplinary authority administered by its highest court or another centralized body, governed by a uniform set of rules. Rather, under Judiciary Law Section 90, the power and control over the conduct of attorney discipline resides in the Appellate Division of the Supreme Court and each of the four judicial departments, which operate independently under its own set of rules and procedures. So the current structure raises, I think, an issue where the New York's departmental-based system leads to unnecessary regional disparities in the implementation of discipline and the imposition of sanctions. The Subcommittee on Uniformity and Fairness is examining in detail the varying and different rules, procedures, and operations of New York's departmental-based attorney disciplinary system, with a view towards recommendations to reconcile possible disparities in the statewide administration of discipline, and also to explore the benefits of uniform rules, procedures, and standards.
And what about the Subcommittee on Enhancing Efficiency? What's that all about?
The Subcommittee on Enhancing Efficiency is focused on approaches to increasing the overall efficiency of the disciplinary system statewide in the processing of complaints, or from the processing of the complaints, through the investigation of complaints, the initiation of formal discipline, and ultimately the disposition of both informal and formal discipline, and of course the imposition of sanctions. One of the principal, I think, concerns of this subcommittee is to eliminate any unwarranted delays in the processing of the disciplinary complaints, such that complainants, the public, and attorneys will receive fair and efficient treatment. Again, you can't entirely separate the Subcommittee on Enhancing Efficiency from issues regarding uniformity in the four departments, throughout the four departments.
I see. I see. And finally, the Subcommittee on Transparency and Access. What is the focus there?
The Subcommittee on Transparency and Access is examining issues of confidentiality, privacy, access to records and documents, and I guess adjudicative hearings related to disciplinary proceedings, as well as the right of public access, including press access, to the disciplinary process. Again, Judiciary Law Section 90, Subdivision 1, contains a presumption that papers, records, and documents and proceedings will be private and confidential except upon good cause shown. So essentially, there is a presumption in Judiciary Law Section of closure rather than a presumption of openness with respect to disciplinary records and proceedings. Now, I would point out that that section is really silent specifically with respect to hearings that are held in disciplinary proceedings, and that's something that I think that the subcommittee will also be focusing on. And again, the relationship here to a question of uniform standards, and there are issues regarding, you know, if, in fact, there will be greater public access and therefore greater access by attorneys as well to both records and the proceedings, what stage is it appropriate for there to be greater public access?
Now, that changing that presumption, of course, would require action by the legislature, I believe, correct?
Absolutely, yes. Any change to the current provisions, including, of course, a departmental-based system, would have to be legislatively imposed.
Okay. There's been a lot of discussion over a lot of years about whether the system as it now exists, which, as you noted, it is administered regionally by the four departments of the Appellate Division, lacks uniformity from region to region and area to area. What are the pros and the cons of a statewide disciplinary system, keeping in mind that Manhattan is a fundamentally different place than, say, Chautauqua County?
Yeah, certainly New York State is a large state. And, you know, in terms of the fact that we have such a large number of practicing attorneys in New York State, and many, of course, are based in the majority are based in the first and second departments, which tend to be more populous and certainly have, you know, more of the practicing attorneys. But I guess the greater question is, should attorney discipline be administered based upon the location where an attorney practices or where an attorney resides? And should the location make a difference in terms of the types of procedures that an attorney will face? And more importantly, ultimately, the types of sanctions that an attorney may face and disparities in the imposition, the possible disparities in the imposition of sanctions. And I think that that's why it's very important to take a look at it and to at least for the commission at this point to make some determination and recommendations as to whether or not there are disparities in different geographical regions, again, based upon the departmentally based administration of the attorney disciplinary system. Now, you know, the pros, I think, are that an attorney, there'll be much greater predictability, not just for attorneys who are subject to the grievance process and discipline, but also for the public at large, in terms of if there are both a uniform set of procedures, uniform rules, and uniform standards as well. one of the problems with respect to Judiciary Law Section 90 is that it really, while it sets forth the general menu of formal discipline from censure through disbarment, it doesn't really include any standards with respect to the types of conduct which should fall within any particular category. And therefore, that becomes an issue that, again, is determined by each of the departmental disciplinary committees, and, of course, not necessarily in a uniform manner.
Now, the as far as achieving more uniformity, are there things that can be done by the chief judge and the administrative board of the courts that would not require legislative action that may forward that goal of greater uniformity?
Yes, I think that, a goal of greater uniformity can certainly be addressed outside of the context immediately of legislative change by, of course, rule changes, which are under the jurisdiction of the Court of Appeals and the Administrative Board, of course, under the direction of the Chief Judge. And that is currently, we have four different sets of rules that govern both procedures and, substantive proceedings with respect to formal discipline. And certainly, we are examining all of those rules with a view towards whether or not recommending a uniform set of rules that would be operative in all four departments is, a viable alternative.
There's also been a lot of controversy for a whole lot of years over whether attorney disciplinary matters should become public much earlier in the process. And I wonder if, to some extent, it's kind of a tale of two states issue, because, as we discussed earlier, it's a very diverse state, and a routine attorney disciplinary matter in, say, Manhattan or Brooklyn is likely to make news at all, and may well end up on the front page of the Daily Messenger in Canandaigua. How can that be balanced, and the effect of opening that information would have on an attorney's career potentially?
Well, there are, I think, a few different considerations with respect to this issue of opening attorney disciplinaries. One critical, the policy issue initially is, one of, does it benefit both the public and the bar at large to have more access to attorney disciplinary proceedings? And I certainly think that there are, part of the purpose of the disciplinary system is certainly to protect the public from unscrupulous attorney misconduct, and also to enhance, I think, the public perception of the integrity and the integrity of the bar. And so that's a difficult balance. New York State is the exception. In most of the states, there is a presumption that disciplinary proceedings are open and that there is access to records and documents in disciplinary proceedings at a particular stage of the disciplinary process. So the first question I think that has to be tackled is, if in fact there's going to be greater access, at what stage should there be greater access that will be fair to both the complainants, the attorneys who are subject to the proceeding, and to the public? In most of the jurisdictions, the determination has been made that the proceedings and the records should become public at that stage where formal proceedings have been initiated, but based upon a finding usually of probable cause. Again, a standard that's certainly doesn't exist currently either in Judiciary Law 90 or within the departmental rules. So that's something that we will have to examine.
Of course, earlier this year, the Unified Court System began posting attorney disciplinary records, information that was already public but almost impossible to find, on its website, largely as a consumer protection measure. What are your thoughts on that? Good idea? Bad idea?
Well, you know, currently, again, because of the limitations in Judiciary Law 90, normally proceedings do not become public in New York until there has been an adjudication. Of course, unfavorable to an attorney, resulting in a public sanction, either censure, suspension, or disbarment. It seems to me it is helpful to have attorney disciplinary records available to the public, you know, again, based upon actual discipline that has been imposed. And I think it's helpful not only to the public, who, of course, have to access, you know, attorneys and information on attorneys in making the decision, you know, as to who they wish to retain, but it's also helpful to the entire bar in terms of allowing attorneys to know the types of conduct or misconduct which will result in attorney discipline, and that, of course, needs to be avoided. So I think that it's positive to the extent we can expand public access to existing records.
What sort of a timetable is the commission looking at, and when can the public expect to see a report?
The hope is the commission is going to be continuing its work through this summer, and will hopefully have a report, at least in draft form, available by September, by the early fall, for the review by the Chief Judge and the Court of Appeals.
Great. Is there anything I forgot to ask about, or anything you'd like to add?
I think that pretty much covers what the state of the commission is currently, and everyone, I think, is working very diligently, all of the subcommittees, to come up with their initial reports to the full committee.
Great. Well, thank you for your time, Judge.
My pleasure. Okay, take care.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for listening to this edition of Amici. If you have a suggestion for a topic on Amici, call John Carr at 518-453-8669 or send him a note at jcaher@nycourts.gov. In the meantime, stay tuned.